Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Rusty Quill presents.
Hey everyone, Alexey Talander here, and welcome to the Ostium Sagas. Now, if you're enjoying this series and want more right away, I just wanted to mention that you can get them on our Ostium Network Patreon at patreon.com/ostiumpodcast. By becoming a supporter at any level, you'll instantly get access to the next 15 episodes in the series. So that's on our Patreon at patreon.com/ostiumpodcast. And I'd just like to thank our five most recent patrons for supporting the Ostium Network. Thank you to Pokivim, Daniel Hoskins, Talon, Nom Blashki, and Megan Polliner for all your support. We really appreciate it. And now let's get started with the next chapter of the Ostium Sagas. The Ostium Sagas. Saga 1, 1066. Recorder's Endnote, Part 3.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
From Steve Chase at Hotmail.com to L. Harcourt at Marquette.edu. Subject: A Chronicle Like No Other. Dear Professor Harcourt, my name is Stephen Chase, and before you start searching your memory banks, no, I'm not a current nor a former student of yours. I'm someone you don't know, but I think I might know you, or to be more precise, might know who you are affiliated with. Secretly affiliated with, that is. You see, I also have an interest in the medieval period, specifically the 11th century, and even more specifically, the Battle of Hastings, and what happened after the battle involving someone who was a witness to that both famous and infamous day and night. I came across your postings and discussions on a message board on that subject. Your insights are... well, let's just say, even if no one else seems to really believe you, I do. And I also believe you have, or have had access to a certain source. A primary source, if you will, to provide you with these insights. Now, if you think this message is the stark ravings of a madman, and to be instantly dismissed, then I encourage you to do so, and that will be the end of this matter. However, if there is something here... something within my words that rings true to you, then I should like to hear from you, for I feel we have much to discuss. Best regards, Steve Chase. As I prepared and willed myself to click the send button and take the plunge, Jean caught my attention suddenly. They said they were very interested in what I had been doing with the Ostium sagas and in my tracking down this Professor Harcourt. They knew I wanted to maintain the utmost secrecy with all this, which they fully understood, as it is of the highest importance that Ostium and the Ostium Network, and now the Ostium sagas, be known to as few people as possible. In which case they advised me that instead of sending an email, I should record an audio version of the message I wished to send to the professor, and then use a specific program to send it. At this point, the program opened up on my datapad. An audio-only program called Quantum Oral, or one word. Zhang said that using this program would provide the greatest encryption and security for the message I would be sending. I then asked them how Dr. Harcourt would be able to respond, as this program seemed like it was something that was specific to the Ostium Network. And for that matter, wouldn't he be able to tell it was a piece of software that did not exist in his time and risk arousing his suspicions? They said I was correct. He would not recognize the program, which, once my message was sent, would be made available to him on his computer, or whichever device he used most often for communicating with. But this would do all the more in convincing him that my message was legitimate, and that he should trust my words, especially if he is in fact a member of the Conclave, as I suspected. Zhang said they also suspected this, and that the security and protection of Quantum Oral was so extreme that it was impossible for anyone to trace where a message had come from, and if anyone tried to copy or alter the software in any way, it would automatically erase itself completely, with no sign of its existence remaining. Zhang also said they would be monitoring continuously at their end with the software for any signs of attempted tampering. Professor Harcourt was the only one who would be able to use Quantum Oral, if he so chose to. To be honest, I was left pretty speechless by all this from Zhang, but at this point I think they're getting pretty used to that reaction from me, because when I don't speak for minutes on end as I try to process everything I've just heard, they know to maintain their silence too, so I won't get even more confused. And once I was able to collect enough of my thoughts together to put sufficient words in a row to make coherent sentences, I thanked Zhang profusely for their, as always, invaluable help and insight, and then started recording the audio version of the email I was going to send. And once I had it all ready to send off, I stopped and wondered how I was supposed to send it to the professor if this was an audio message via Quantum Oral, and I had originally been emailing him using his email address. Once again, Zhang came to the rescue and made me feel about 5 years old in the kindest way possible, and said the email address would still work and the audio message would get to Dr. Harcourt via his email account and prompt him to download and install the software. Right, I said, silly me, and blamed it on my spending too much of my life in the 1990s, when the internet was this brand new revolutionary thing that everyone had started using every day, but 99% of us didn't really understand how it all worked. So with the audio recording now all ready to go, I typed in Professor Harcourt's email address, took a breath, and just as I was about to hit send for the second time, Zhang chimed in again with a very good point. Perhaps I should add an endnote about the professor needing to do his own audio recording in response to my message, if he did in fact want to respond. It seemed pretty obvious to me, to be honest, but then we did want to make sure he understood everything on the first go. So I thanked Zhang again for their help and then clicked edit on the recording and added this. P.S. If you do wish to respond to this message, as I very much hope you do, then I would request you do so in the format of an audio recording, much like you are listening to this message right now. My associate has informed me that this is the most secret and secure way of contacting each other. I look forward to hearing from you. SC. And before I could begin to doubt myself in any way with what I had just said and done, I hit send and off the audio message went. And so I began the waiting for a response that might never come.